Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs are just for women.
And beer sharts with us.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading It's... It Starts With Us by Colleen Hoover.
And, because we hate ourselves.
I'm starting with beer.
Yeah, you go for it, man.
This book is a romance novel, which means this beer needs no explanation. This is actually not a beer. This is called Harder. This is a giant Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Is it called Harder because there's more of it or because it's stronger?
It is stronger and there's more of it because I think this is a gallon.
Holy shit,
these cans are huge. It is 23 fluid ounces. And this is a Harder Mango, which also, isn't a Harder Mango just an unripe mango? Like, what are they thinking there? That's also doesn't make sense. 8% alcohol, and it's a lot. Oh, God. The smell. Ugh. Okay. Oh, that is weird.
Weird?
this is strange.
I mean, Mike's Hard Lemonades are, like, fine, usually. I guess, but that's more booze in it.
It's really sweet. Ugh. And it needs to be more. It definitely tastes like an incredibly sweet mango, but like artificial mango. It needs more lemon. It needs to be kind of part lemonade. I guess it was harder for them to do that.
Oh.
This is so sweet. Too much. Anyway, it's going to be harder to drink this than a regular beer.
If you look up Mike's Hard Lemonade Harder review from the takeout review, Mike's Harder cocktails go a little too hard.
I don't want more of that. I don't. It's too sweet for me.
So this is not just a regular harder lemonade. It's the Hard Mango Lemonade.
It's Harder Mango, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So It Starts With Us is the sequel to It Ends With Us, confusingly named.
There's so many, like if you just Google this book, there's so many questions there, like, should I read It Starts With Us first or It Ends With Us? It's like, no, it's actually no.
You should read neither. They're terrible. I completely forgot what happened in the first book, but it came back to me in fits like I was a amnesiac on a soap opera. But it's the sequel that kind of starts, it like overlaps with the last book, I think.
I feel like. It takes place like almost immediately after the first book.
But I feel like it takes like 5 minutes back to get characters' thoughts, but I could be imagining it. Anyway, we did It Ends With Us, and it was whatever, if by whatever you mean shitty, but it was a thing.
Though we did have some nice things to say about it in the way it portrayed domestic violence and it made the story about, you know, the difficulty of leaving someone who's beating you. So we had nice things to say about that book for that reason.
It at least had some redeeming qualities and at least...
You only had to tell the book once.
It at least had kind of, not a purpose, but it kind of did have a purpose more than this one does.
Oh, this book had a purpose. It was Hoover's mortgage.
It was a money grab.
Was the purpose.
I just want to read to you the thank you at the end of the book.
Oh, I didn't read it.
It says, It Ends With Us is the one book I have been adamant that I would never write a sequel for. I felt like it ended where it needed to end. I didn't want to put Lily through more stress.
With us.
But then hashtag book talk happened and the online petition and the messages and videos. And I realized most of you weren't asking me to put them through more pain. You simply wanted to see them happy. It's like, I knew that I didn't want to ever continue this, but people really wanted it and I wanted their money. So I wrote this book.
They wanted to see their happiness, Jimmy. And nothing makes people happier than seeing Colleen Hoover rich.
Yeah.
You know what, man? I can't falter at all. If you could cash in, you should fucking do it.
Yeah. That doesn't make this book good, though.
No, not at all. This book sucks ass. But anybody who shits on sellouts is a pussy. We'd all sell out.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you should enjoy the products of sellouts.
Yeah. If I could shit out a book that I wrote in a weekend that wasn't very good and it made me $10 million, I would absolutely do it.
I would do it every other week.
It'd still take a week off in between.
Well, you know, you got to get more fiber. So this book, I remember seeing the Subway ads for this in 2022, and they were ubiquitous. This big book, and I had never heard, we hadn't done the first one yet, I don't think. And it was, it starts with us. The sequel. I was like, that's confusing. And then I'd get on my train.
The sequel that is a prequel?
This is a fucking Mobius strip of a book series. So, the main characters, if you forgot, are Lily Bloom and Atlas Shrugged, and they are the stupidest people ever. Except the supporting cast is stupider.
Her character is that she is earnest and effortlessly hot, and she has two friends.
And she's very good with making steampunk floral arrangements. That was a significant point in the first book.
Yeah. You just put a bunch of wristwatches on it.
You need at least one pressure gauge. And then the other character is Atlas, who is really, really hot. And he makes a fucking awesome blooming onion. What the fuck it is that he serves at his restaurant.
That he learned how to make in the Marines or whatever he was in.
He just, everything at his restaurant is potato-based. Because it's all he peeled in the Navy.
Also, he's Irish. Famed Atlas Corrigan.
Dude, at one point, he introduces his second restaurant. Do you remember what the name of the restaurant was?
Corrigan's, isn't it?
But do you remember what kind of, very good, do you remember what kind of food they serve?
No.
It was Italian food.
Oh, of course.
Corrigan's. Could not imagine a much more Irish name than Corrigan's.
Wait, what was that other book we did about the confusing Irish-Italian thing?
America, the story. I have no idea.
It's the mob one? I mean, it was like there was I had overlap. A restaurant, and it was like the, I don't fucking remember. It was a pizza place run by Irish people. I forget. Well, anyway.
He makes a restaurant that serves Italian-inspired food called Corrigan's. That's fucking absurd.
You know what? You know what? I'm actually gonna defend them on this one. They are in Boston. That's the one place you could pull that shit off.
That's ridiculous. It's like, come check out my Japanese fusion restaurant. It's called Shapiro's. Like, that's ridiculous. That is fucking nonsensical.
I love a good latke tempura.
That sounds pretty good.
I mean, latkes are basically tempura.
But that's ridiculous. This is my...
Come to my Mexican restaurant named Vladimir Putin.
Exactly. That's so... And then
borscht burrito. Mmm.
It's the borscht-rito.
There's a lot of vinegar in this.
But it wasn't fusion Italian Irish food. It was just Italian.
Yeah, it was only gnocchi.
Corrigan's.
It's a gnocchi restaurant.
It was just Italian food.
Guinness gnocchi.
It was just a knockoff Olive Garden. I was so angry.
Okay, we should talk about what actually happened.
So this book picks up immediately after the end of the first book, where at the end of the first book, Lily leaves her abusive husband, Ryle, also a stupid name.
Well, because he's busy cosplaying both Ryu and Guile at the same time.
Yes, he's a very confused man.
Sonic Boom.
And she also had previously seen Atlas at a restaurant where he was working. And he was the boy next door, the homeless boy next door, who grew up in an abusive household. And she and he banged when they were young. And then her dad beat the fuck out of him with a bat and hospitalized him. And then he ran away and she like never saw him again. And so he joined the army and now he runs restaurants.
And as one does.
And he's now they are...
He's the
controller
of Flavortown.
Yeah, I could see that. But she runs into him on the street after... leaving her husband, and she's like, oh, I'll give you a call sometime. And that's the end of the first book. And now the second book is like, that. That's where it picks up pretty much right away.
I feel like the first book ended that they were together.
It ended with them, like, you know, hinting that they were going to get together. Because like, there wasn't supposed to be a sequel.
But the whole point was it starts with us. Oh, no, it ends with us, right?
It ends with us.
These are confusing titles. It ends with us, the cycle of people who grow up in violent places either becoming victims or perpetrators of violence themselves. And like, no, we're gonna cold turkey violence.
And then she gets her and her kid. What was her baby's name?
Emerson.
Emerson, right. So it picks up right away.
Still a dumb fucking name.
It's the name of a college right there in Boston.
It is.
It's a white person name, Nate.
Absolutely.
That's a big time. More white than Ryle. That's a fake name. That's ridiculous.
Ryle is definitely the name that like a family that has boats would name their son. 100%.
Yeah, Ryle has been to multiple regattas.
Yeah, and multiple boarding schools that he got kicked out of. Because he was damaged because he accidentally shot his brother in the face when they were kids or something. I don't remember.
I actually didn't bother looking it up.
He killed his brother in a gun accident as a young child, and it left him emotionally disturbed, and he beat his wife because of that.
He tried to like scoop his head back into his head.
Yes.
And that's why he became a neurosurgeon.
He's like, I'll never eat chowder again.
We're in Boston. It's white here. And he's like, I don't care.
This was more of a Manhattan chowder because it was red.
I feel like we probably made this joke last time.
But yeah, so...
Any opportunity for a Manhattan clam chowder joke, we don't leave behind.
I've never seen a Manhattan clam chowder in my life.
You're not ready. You're not ready.
No. Anyway, this book starts with them getting, they're going to get together, and it alternates chapters, his perspective, her perspective.
Which are both up their own asses.
Yeah, they're both deeply stupid people.
Oh, both stupid. So because this book, and I don't think the first book was like this. The first book was just all Lily.
No, yeah, just her.
And this is Lily, and then Atlas, and then Lily, then Atlas. So this is just like the misses.
Oh, because. God.
And it's
but better
just like
than
that,
I guess.
I mean, better,
it was
but
mercifully
still bad
shorter.
Because when you, and this is what I said on our episode on the misses, is that when it's not done well, and you've got a chapter from each character's perspective, and each of them wants the same thing, there's no conflict anymore. Like in a quote-unquote normal book where you voice only one person's perspective and they're going through, you know, what is this person going to do? How am I going to get this person to do the thing I want so I can achieve my objective? When you've got each person, and they both want the same thing, there is no more tension. And so the book was so boring because it's like, yeah, obviously it says right in the beginning, yeah, they just want to fuck. They're obviously going to get together.
But she's going to wait a little bit.
And there's just no conflict. And so it's really boring. I assume that this can be done well by a good writer. But it would be that the two characters want different things and not the exact same thing.
I guess in this, the conflict is external in that, like, her conflict is she's still... Is she actually divorced or is she just separated? I can't remember.
They're divorced.
They are divorced, right. So, like, but she's, like... The conflict is that, she's worried that... Because he's still around because they've got the kid. The kid's, like, a year old now, so I guess, you know, she was there for a while. And she's worried that if she tells him what's happening, you know, he'll freak out and beat the fuck out of her. Or, you know, just, like, how does she navigate this life as a, you know, having him still there? But it's still not really any kind of plot other than these two nice people want to bang and they will, and then everything's cool. But there's plenty of time for bad writing in that interim.
So there's a thing about, like, they meet on the street and it's like, we're going to, like, we should see each other sometime soon. And they're both, like, really excited. But there's also this thing about, they have to, because it's a sequel, have to reintroduce the diary written to Ellen.
I don't remember who the fuck Ellen even was.
It was Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, it was literally
That's
Jesus
why I texted
Christ.
That to you.
I thought that was just a joke.
young...
There couldn't be that stupid.
Oh.
Young
Hold
Lily...
my beer.
This was in the first book. So the way Colleen Hoover writes, and this isn't now in all three books of hers that we've done, where the plot unfolds through like one person reading a diary or writing a diary or just like remembering a diary. This is, well, that. And remembering diarrhea? No. And then this is that
the whole
plus like
series
letters. Letters that Atlas would write to her. Which
in this one,
who does that anymore?
Was the Ellen diary simply copy pasted from the first book?
I think so, there were new entries.
So I think so. The very beginning of the book, she's like, "I have so many things I need to think about," and then she goes to the park and takes a notebook and writes another diary entry to Ellen. Knowing everything she knows about Ellen, she still wrote it to Ellen anyway.
It's like, Ellen, I bet
this was after Ellen's, you know, downfall. Yeah.
You dance so happy with that black guy in your show. I bet he'll never kill himself. Didn't that happen? Didn't that dude kill himself?
Who?
What guy?
I'm telling you, Ellen, this is the worst Google search of my life. Ellen black eye dancing.
Black eye dancing suicide.
Steve Twitch. That fucking guy killed himself.
I don't know who this is.
She's gay?
I'm telling you.
What?
My Ellen news is really behind. How's her new sitcom doing?
Twitch was the DJ guy on Ellen
who had the
fucking stupid hat. Her house black person?
House guy. Oh, Jesus.
It's what he was. It was like Ellen's black guy that
was
like
Paul Schaefer. Her Paul
dance
Schaefer.
For me. Okay, but like it's a little weirder.
Yeah, it is.
When it's a black guy wearing an Arby's hat and he dances only when Ellen claps her hands, and then he fucking killed himself. And everyone was like, he just seemed so happy. Mm-hmm. That was a real thing, not even 2 years ago.
It's been a long two years.
I wish I could have made that up. I wish I had that imagination.
So Lily writes Ellen a letter knowing that she did that. That's fucked up.
That's like right when this book came out. Oh my God. Look at all. This came out in like October of 2022. That guy. Oh, he died in December of 2022.
Right. Perfect timing.
All
right, Colleen, you're off the hook this time.
Ellen dodged the bullet again. Beaver, damn it. Okay, go back on.
So, fucking Lily writes a letter to Ellen so that, as a reader, you can hear her thoughts and understand what her conflict is. This is how the conflict is portrayed to the reader. Lily writes another note to Ellen. And it was, you could tell from my tone of voice, it was really stupid. And then Atlas, she sees Atlas, but Lily is so tired. Instead of like going into the restaurant, she's literally asleep on his shoulder in the car because he drove her there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's a new mom, so yeah, I guess.
You're jumping ahead, bro. It's like their first date.
I was half asleep, and you guys are not explaining anything. So
I'm trying
please.
Not to cut you off for once. You're philosophy.
There's the first time for everything. Okay, tell us what really happened then.
There is a thing happening with Atlas where someone is vandalizing his restaurant and writing stuff on the walls like
asshole.
Yeah, you're an asshole, but spelled with two words. Like, my mom used to say it that way. Like, I don't know how you can tell if someone says asshole as two words. Unless they, like, really stress it. Like, you are an asshole. Like, okay, sure.
It's pig Latin. It's the only way you can know for sure.
So he's like, I wonder who is doing this? And you're like, I guess we'll find out soon. And then he's like, I gotta go talk to my child therapist. That is my friend's son, and unload my struggles on this 13-year-old kid.
Oh, okay, can we talk about that 12-year-old kid?
Theo,
who's gay. That comes
who
up
is
right
gay
away.
By the end of the book, and you're like, wow, that was a surprise.
No, it's like immediately, he's like, what's the problem, Theo? some girl you like? And he's like, well, maybe, kind of. And he's like, or is it some guy? And then Theo's like, brat summer. And they're like, oh, he's gay. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
It's a, that's the thing right now. But then he's very, very gay. And he's like, that's cool, bro. I'm down with that. But then in the next scene with this very gay 13-year-old boy or 12-year-old boy, no judgment. But the dad's like, come on, son, you need to take a shower. And he's like, I showered yesterday, dad. I'm clean enough. He's not gay. That's not, I'm sorry. That is peak straight 12-year-old boy behavior to be like, yeah, I'm going to be filthy and I don't give a fuck. I've never met an openly gay middle school kid who was like, and I was in middle school and there were some and they were like, ew, gross. You know, not that they weren't gross. That came out bad. But they were.
They didn't smell. They were the cleanest kids.
They were the cleanest kids. And they were not going to be like, I showered 48 hours ago. That's enough, father. That was the thing that straight boys did. They're like, yeah, it's cool, dad. I showered at the last lunar eclipse.
You're supposed to smell like old taint. I'm a man.
It's that earthy smell that attracts the feminines. What do you say?
Andrew Tate says male pheromones wash away when you shower. He's never going to do anything wrong. I'm
Dad, how am I ever going to attract a 14-year-old girl to whip with a belt when I'm 30 if I don't have my pheromones in check?
So that's happening, and you know it bounces back and forth. And Lily's having struggles because she Lily Bloom once again. Her name is Lily Bloom, and she owns a flower shop.
Nominative. Nate, say it. You say it.
It's better than the guy named Phil Fuddrucker who works at a Denny's. But she's struggling. She really likes Atlas for no reason other than he was nice to her when they were young.
Well, we can't make fun of her name without being the guy who beats his wife up is Ryle Dupp. That's his name is whatever the fuck it was.
Is it? I want to say Kincaid. Is that right?
I'm Ryle. Kin.
I don't
kid.
Care.
Kay.
But Ryle's sister is still Lily's, I want to say at this point, from what other evidence I've gathered in the book, her only friend. Oh. She doesn't talk to anyone else.
Yeah, it's...
They have a birthday party for the kid. It's just them. And her husband, who was there because he is married to her, the sister, whose plot points are providing backstory for other characters no one cares about. But yeah, her only friend. And also she also has the other girl who works at the shop who they have to go to their wedding later. And she's not even in the book, even though they go to her wedding.
Yeah. I was so confused. I was like, wait, we're going to...
Her name was like, Lucy, the other girl in the shop who's like, not the shop because she's preparing for a wedding. Going to the wedding. And of course, they go to the wedding, but there's no mention of anyone there. They don't even talk to her.
There's also no description of the wedding.
No, just what happens before and after with all the coming. So, yeah.
Yeah, this comes starts with that. Us.
And then, they have their eventual first date, and she falls asleep. And instead of, like, waking her up or, like, not being weird, he writes her a letter in his notes app for her to read when she wakes up.
Because she passes out. By the way, earlier on, he's fucking abusive emotionally.
Like, well, he was abused as a child.
That's fine. I don't care. But he goes to visit her at her shop. And then her girl was like, oh, God, I think your baby daddy's coming around. She's like, please hide. And he's like, I'm a fucking free man who owns two Italian restaurants named after Irish people. I can go wherever I want. She's like, just get in the fucking closet. I am not whatever. And then he comes out of the closet later and he manipulates that into a date. He's like, well, you know, you did make me hide in the closet and it made me feel bad. And she's like, oh, don't make me do it. He's like, well, you did. You did do that. I'll pick you up at 6. And she's like, all right, fine. He is manipulative. And they love each other. She likes him, though, so she's like, oh, he's playful. But he's a monster, too.
But they're both deeply damaged, weird people.
Anybody who has a steampunk florist shop
is irreparably damaged. She mainly specializes in Civil War reenactment bouquets, but one time she did a steampunk thing.
It's the gauges, and if you attach your bouquet to a Zeppelin, then it's steampunk.
What's the most steampunk transportation device?
Absolutely Zeppelin.
Oh, I wrote these things down because I could not fucking remember, because I knew I was going to forget everything. He asks her to read him her childhood journals.
And she's like, no, that's mortifying. He's like, you owe me. You made me sit in a closet for 2 minutes. And she's
read
like,
me
I guess
your private
you did.
Child thoughts about them.
That we know as the reader, her ex-husband pushed her down a flight of stairs for reading.
For writing.
Well, for her writing.
Yeah, for writing as a child. Because they're her childhood journals, and he found them, and he was suspicious of this guy, and so he pushed her down the stairs. Yeah,
that's because Ryle is a Hadouchkin, and he pushed her right down the stairs because he was so mad. Is you fucked a bum? Gross.
Yeah,
Nate, what do you think about all this? By the way,
do you remember? Is any of this coming back?
I am so sleepy right now. Oh my god.
Well, maybe perhaps learning. Did you remember what his hobbies included when they're getting to know each other as adults? What Atlas's big hobby was?
It was besides cooking. Yayoi porn or
yaoi? No, it was yaoi. Yeah, was it? Is it pronounced yaoi?
Is that the gay
animes? No, his hobby was reading online reviews of businesses, no. Not just his.
He just
any.
Reads Yelp.
Yeah, he just likes to read Yelp. That's his. That's what he said. Like, what do you like to do? Like, I like to read random reviews on Yelp. Like, you're a fucking weirdo. You're weird. You're a weird guy.
Well, once I'm done reading the reviews on Yelp, I put back on the skin I have made of drifters. That's psychopath. Just reads Yelp.
Well, he reads Yelp, but he writes a long letter in his app about his abusive mom on their first date that she slept through, so she can read in the car while he watches her, which is an insane sequence of events.
Well, they had to wait for the mozzarella sticks to come out.
No, they never went to the restaurant. They were still sitting in the car.
Oh, I know.
And they got a burger on the way back.
Arby's? Did they shit their pants?
That's why they were driving so fast.
It shorts with us.
So then, what the fuck is his name?
Atlas.
That's so fucking stupid.
Oh,
also her one friend keeps calling him a Greek god, even though he's clearly Irish.
It's because he's ripped.
I think it's because his name is Atlas.
But he's really, because he was in the military. He's in shape.
He's muscular from peeling all the potatoes. His forearms are like just girthy as fuck.
And he's been lonely, so his wrists are like a fucking, you know.
Yes.
You know, sewage line.
Jesus. So his mom shows up and is like, by the way, you've got a little brother and he ran away. And he's like, what the fuck? I never told you about him? He's like, no, you never told me about him. He's like, I'm pretty sure I did. They're like, no, you didn't. Like, well, suck a dick. Fuck you.
And she's like, I will suck a dick. I am an Irish whore.
You're left to wonder, I guess that's the kid doing the vandalism. I hope they don't spend the next 80% of the book trying to figure that out. And luckily they don't. They figured out the next chapter, which is 4 pages away. So I was like, at least you gave us that, Colleen.
Well, because you knew she wasn't going to introduce that many new characters. So like,
but there's got to be like, I figured like it's got to be like a plot, like, oh, they're going to spend a lot of time like trying to figure out who it is. And it's like, oh, no, they're just going to do that right away. Like, okay.
Because this guy can't buy a Ring camera.
No, he sees him on the cameras, but he's like, I don't know who that is. It's some fucking weird little kid in a shitty, it's a low quality camera. But he's like, a kid he never knew saw before. So he's like, I don't know who that is. But he's like, he spells asshole like my mom. The only person on earth to spell it that way.
And the kid stole all of my croutons.
He ate an entire batch of croutons.
That's
his insides must be
enough.
Like the fucking Sahara. He's gonna have so many cuts on the way out of his asshole.
You know, man. Yeah, he will.
They, what the fuck happens? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, they, you know, they, she, he finds the kid because he, like, figures out his, like, schedule of vandalism and bumming. But, like, oh, every third day he goes to the other place.
My other restaurant. My pop-up. Yeah,
and he goes there and he finds the kid and he's like, mom told me you left because you didn't want a little brother. He's like, I just found out about you. And he's like, fuck you. And he's like, no, fuck you. Like, Boston respect. So then he's like, I'm going to spend the rest of this book trying to get custody of my new brother from my shit mom, even though she doesn't want him, but she's going to try and get him to spite me. And you're like, I don't care. I hope both of you die.
The mom has no remorse. Like, she somehow...
She took him to get clam, to get coconut shrimp once.
Now, play your cards right, you get a bloomin' onion next time. And he's like, oh shit, we're going to Outback? Nate, you never had a bloomin' onion?
I have. They're good.
Okay. You made a very entire
bloomin' onion?
By yourself?
I probably could.
That would shart with us.
There would definitely be some anal leakage after that.
It'll come out your back, if you know what I'm saying. But the...
My neck, my back, everywhere. So what the fuck
else is God.
There? Oh, they... So they're going to go to the wedding, and they go to the wedding, and then they're going to, they bang. Not him and his brother. That's weird.
Well, his brother is hanging out with the friend who's gay, who is like, I'm just...
They know each other from school.
I just want penis. And he's like, that's cool, dude. I don't know. You want to keep reminding me of that?
So they, Atlas and Lily bang each other, and she squirts. But it's oh no, that's the beginning.
Oh no,
the
first
time they make out. The first time they make out,
she squirts. It's important to note that
breast milk everywhere, and it gives rise to this line somewhere in the book. I wrote this down because it sounds like a sentence that a shitty dude writer would write. But this was a lady. He looked so good. He smelled so good. I probably smell like breast milk.
Because they're gonna. They don't bang. They make out. And then
that's at the beginning, yeah.
He finger blasts her.
He does finger blast her.
Like a gentleman. And then she's like, oh my God. And then she's like, I squirted. And he's like, not out of where you thought. And then they look at her shirt. She's like, oh my God, this, I look like the ghost of the Kool-Aid man. He's just covered in milk. And he's like, I love dairy because he's creepy.
And it's raw.
Oh, it's raw milk. For sure. And he's like, what the fuck is that shit called? Colostrum? What
colostrum, yeah. But later when they bang, I want this to be known. Hopefully I think he fists her.
I know exactly what's... Read it to us. Though,
oh, no, this is also when the fingering happened.
Oh, I know. Oh, we all know.
This was... Because I don't have gotten... This is... Every part of my body feels like it's on fire when he slips two more fingers into my underwear. Then, when his entire hand makes the move, I'm a goner. He fisted her.
It's clarified in the next chapter when he's like, hey, I think I left my watch in you.
That's my oven timer. Did you just ding? Is my creme brulee ready?
My father brought that back from Nam.
Exactly the same way, actually. So then they bang a bunch of times, and as they're laying in bed together, he talks about how Child Protective Services government bureaucracy works. It's like, oh, the perfect conversation.
You know what? Also, we're on a libertarian roll tonight, man. The government overreach.
During that section, and I was listening to the audiobook, so I had to actually stop and write this down. stupid throwaway line, because Alice is all worried about, you know, his mom.
Allison is the sister.
And Child Protective Services.
Same thing.
And Atlas, you know, and Lily says, you're just stressed out about things that haven't happened yet. And I was like, isn't that all things to be stressed out about? Are there other things to be stressed about?
Stuff that already happened.
Yeah. Isn't that everything? Yeah. So I was like, that's dumb.
Well, yeah, she's very dumb.
Oh, just a bit.
Yeah, they talk about CPS because he's trying to get custody, and she's like, I don't know what to do about, you know, my abusive husband, ex-husband. Because
she never filed reports in the first book when he beat the shit out of her.
Yeah, because he's rich and he has access to lawyers, and she just has a steampunk flower shop, and she just wanted to like get it done. So he has visitation, like, you know, weekends or something, or she gives him the kid on weekends, and he's allowed to do whatever.
No, he doesn't get the kid overnight. And he's like a resident or something, so he's never...
He's a neurosurgeon, isn't he? Full.
It is, but I don't know how it actually works if you're a surgeon or a doctor or whatever. But
I mean, he's like a full doctor. I don't fucking know. He sucks.
I don't care because I hate everything in this book. But he is busy, and so he's like, it's my night. I don't care. I have to go cut up on a brain. And she's like, good. And he's like, yes. I'll smack you later. And that's how it goes. That's every chapter.
Yeah. And then he like comes over to like pick up the kid or something. And he like keeps coming in. She's like, he's got a key to the apartment because of the kid. She's like, I don't want him to have that. Because he just comes in and he sees like her breast milk soaked clothes all over the place. And then he says like, you won't leave her with me overnight, but you'll drop her off somewhere else when you want to get fucked. And he's like, he's an irredeemable character entirely.
Oh, yeah.
In the sequel.
It's
which, you know, he is. He's a shithole, shitbag, but asshole?
he's a whole, all of him, the whole.
An entire ass?
And these men exist, and these, you know, these people exist. But in literature, you expect them to be a little more complicated.
There was a little more, in the first book, he was definitely more complicated. In this book, he's just, every time he's on the page, he's just the worst person you could be.
But every once in a while, he stops and he breathes heavy. He's like, God damn you. Why do you make me do this?
He like fucking pins her to a door and she almost passes out after she does something or nothing because he's crazy.
Because anytime there's a whiff of Atlas, he's like, I smell maps.
You know I hate cartography.
God damn it.
You know, it's my only class I failed.
I hate a collection of maps bound together.
Maps should be separate. Collectivism is bullshit.
These are definitely real problems and not me just projecting. Come on, that's a good map joke.
Are you saying when you project, some issues appear larger than others?
Some issues appear out of proportion.
Never eat soggy waffles. So then he gets all mad at her. He's like, you've been fucking that bum again. And she's like, no, what? I don't fuck bums.
<He's> like, one bum, one time. I built that path.
And you're forever a bum fucker. Why?
You fuck one goat, you know?
But so every single time Atlas is in the air, he's like, is that cans I smell?
I notice there's no change in your couch cushions. Did someone perhaps take it? But yeah, they fight and all that shit. Also, she stays at his place and she's like, can I use a toothbrush? She's like, here, I have an extra one. And she's like, wow, you just have this in case? And he's like, yeah, just in case. And then it's like in his head, he's like, actually, after I saw that your husband was a shitty guy, I bought an extra of everything just in case you ever stayed over sometime in the future. And it was like a year or two ago that this happened. So
I even bought an extra woman's skin.
Did you forget your skin? Here, use this.
It's so fucking creepy.
He put it on
just
one of those.
Put the lotion on it first.
So you can fit in. He put it on over one of those like waifu pillows.
Oh, God, no. I got to drink this with a beer. And I was waiting for us to get to this point. I don't care. This book is dumb. Atlas is good at fighting, right? So
yeah.
You bet he could throw like a good haymaker.
Sure.
But this book is dumb. So he probably throws more like a porch rocker.
Stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't have to. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't. No one cares. No one has ever once been like, hey, I feel like you guys mailed that one in.
I mean, besides every time.
Yeah.
But no one has named something specifically.
We're fine with that.
I wish they would. I would welcome their criticism. This is Porch Rocker from Sam Adams. Aren't they in Boston? There you go. There's a connection.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go. And it's by Jim Cock, is the guy who owns Sam Adams. So they're
Jim Cock.
It's all right. It's Cook. But we know. We know what it is. This is a great, this is a Rattler. This is a great beer. It's like half lemonade.
Just everyone's drinking lemonade today. Look at that.
I'm not. I'm not drinking any more of that
mango
shit.
Mangoade.
It's terrible.
I think Mike's Hard Lemonade isn't that, or is it Twisted Tea? One of those is owned by Sam Adams or the company that owns both of them.
Who the fuck knows these days?
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention it last time. There's a Patreon for this podcast. If you want to support it, go over there. You can figure it out where it is. And, you know, I forgot
we're
the title
of this
book.
Free.
Oh, no. Free podcast. That ends with us. Or you can help us out by just leaving a review. That's also pretty cool. It starts with you.
Much like how the plot almost starts in this book a few times. So... At this point, like, the younger kid, what the fuck is his name? Josh, the shitty little brother, who's, like, 11, but, like, full townie already.
He's one of the sidekicks in the beginning of Free Willy. He's just hanging out,
yeah,
squatting.
Yeah, he's, like, a street kid. And, you know, Atlas at this point has discovered that they have been in Boston for the last 10 years, and he never knew that they were there. But he wants to, like, the kid wants to find his dad, who left immediately after he was born. And so...
It was also Atlas's dad?
Atlas's abusive stepdad.
Stepdad, okay.
Yeah. And so Alice is like, fine, I'll take you to find him. I found him off page very easily.
One Google
because
search.
Because I'm an adult, and I can, like, yeah, use the internet.
I found him here on LinkedIn.
CEO.
He's got a lot of shit about Stop the Steal up. I really don't like this guy already.
It's his smelting shop, Stop the Steal. Two E's.
That would
really
be
funny
an
guy.
Incredible name. Or a metallurgist.
He lives over in Vermont, so they drive to Vermont, and they are outside of his house, and they're like, this guy kind of sucks, probably. And he's like, no, he doesn't suck. He's my dad. He just doesn't know what it's been like, because my mom's an asshole. Like, yeah, she's an asshole. With two words. and then the guy walks out, and he's like the stereotypical, like, shitbag, like, drinking a beer on the way out to the car and throw it in the back of your pickup truck in case you need it later. And he's like, actually,
you
that guy looks like
a
real
nickel,
shithead.
But one step removed.
Yeah. So instead of going to see him at all, they just drive by and flip him off. And they're like, yeah, fuck you. And he's probably like, who was that? And they never see him again. So it really stuck it to the man. And then, oh, all right. The mom came to see, what the fuck?
We're going through a very low stakes family court battle over this kid.
Yeah. But also, like, she came to see him because she wanted help finding the kid because they're going to arrest her for him being truant. Which, is that a thing?
Not in fucking Massachusetts, it's not. Maybe fucking reddest state,
like,
ever.
Wyoming.
Colleen Hoover was a social worker and only started writing trashy novels at, you know, on her lunch break.
I guess it's possible. I never.
I don't think that's a thing. It is a thing in very conservative areas where they try to hold the parents accountable for the kids not showing up to school. I just don't believe it's in Boston.
It could be a thing that's just not enforced. I don't see that happening. That's crazy. But she doesn't want to go to jail because no one does. So that's why that happened.
That can't be the kind of thing where it's a one strike rule.
Well, he's been out for 2 weeks or something like that.
I'm sure. Please.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't make any sense. It's dumb.
It's really.
Oh, she talks about, Lily talks about, like, oh, I didn't say he abused me in my previous custody agreement, so I can't bring it up this time. Which, is that true? I don't know. But also, he did choke her until she was almost unconscious again in this book, so she could bring that up. But
she didn't file it either.
But that happened after it happened after her last one and before she starts to like say, I want to change things again, because he's clearly not getting better until they have a big lasagna intervention. If someone's cooking a lasagna and it's not ready when you show up, you know shit's about to go down.
They're lasagna like, oh, gotta wait is another all-day project.
Yeah, but like the line will be ready in 45 minutes. Someone's getting intervened. You don't schedule dinner before lasagna's ready, knowing how long it takes. So he arrives, and they're like...
As the only person here who had Italian family members, I don't know if that's true.
Well, none of these people are Italian.
But we had a lot of lasagna growing up, and it wasn't always ready. Sometimes you went into the kitchen as a young boy, and they just gave you a scoop of sauce and a piece of white bread, and they're like, go the fuck away. And that was what I remember a lot of. And my wife still doesn't understand that. I've tried to explain to her many times. It's like, no. Grandma gave me red sauce and bread, and I was happy for 2 hours.
That's a lot of bread.
What do you need to know?
Well, in this case, they decide to, instead of sauce and bread, they give him an ultimatum of, you have to go to anger management classes.
But it's not only, what the fuck, and, is Lily, you know, and his sister, Alyssa, but Alyssa's husband... I forget his name.
Marshall.
I'm going to call him Bart. Okay, it's Marshall. And Marshall is...
Blorstadt.
Yeah. So
the classic Irish name, Blorstadt.
It's pronounced Blorstadt, but it's written very differently.
It's all J's.
Blorstadt. Ghost. Yeah, I'm with the ladies on this. And... Ryle is like, what the fuck, bro? I thought we were bros before, you know, stage whisper, hose.
Hose.
And he's like, no, I know what you've done. And that pisses off Ryle so much, it gets him riled up. And
deeply angered.
It gets him very cranky.
Also, there was a thing earlier on when Marshall fulfills his purpose by adding... something to the plot by going, you know, life is difficult. You know, relationships are hard, you know. What was her fucking name? Alyssa.
I once smacked her around.
Alyssa cheated on me once. And they're like, wow, really? That's what the fuck? It's like, yeah. She made out with a guy once in college. Like, I was expecting a little bit more substance from this grand revelation, but maybe I guess my standards are different. It was like, okay, yeah, that's not great, but you act like it was this world-shattering thing. Like, yeah, I know my brother-in-law beat the fuck out of you, but my wife made out with a guy in college drunkenly once, and she felt bad about it and told me right away. It's like,
wow, and I fucking you. Held that over her head for like 11 years now.
So it didn't end with them in their case.
No, every Christmas it starts with me getting what I want. You're a monster. I'm the real villain.
What
and
the
then
fuck?
Ryle's all mad. It's like, you can't intervention me. I quit. And they're like, what? And he's like, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I am just rage incarnate. And then he walks off page for 2 minutes.
And at some point, Lily's reading she's reading a letter she got from Atlas. And she's sitting...
He writes her letters a lot.
It's the longest... It's like the Pony Express. Yeah. His letters are ridiculously long, and they take too long to get there.
But she reads it sitting inside the closet he hid in months ago. And she says, it's been months since I forced Atlas to hide out in here, but it still smells like him. He must smell awful.
He sharted in there. It sharts with us.
And they never found it. A little cup full of poop in the closet.
Here's your fertilizer. And then he left it in there for her. I'm investing in your business.
Wasn't that... No, that was in that book, You, when he pees in the cup in the closet. And he's got to go back for it because he's like, can they get the DNA from my piss?
Which is ridiculous because piss has like no DNA in it, but yeah.
Well, he also, like, he jacked off into it. He was in there already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in this case, Atlas sharted on her coats, and then she's like, it still smells like him in here.
Atlas sharted was the draft of Atlas Shrugged, actually. I'm John Galt, and I fucking hate you guys. I'm gonna. And, the, and these
trains are
them.
Running out of my ass. what the fuck?
Feeling some capital pains, and he just sprayed. anyway, what were we saying, Nate?
So the book fast forwards like 6 months, and it's like, oh, now we're moving in together. And then a year after that, it's like, oh, now we're getting married.
Because she had said to him, or he was like, when can I marry you? When can I sniff your panties? When can I eat your garbage? And she was like, what? He's like, when can we live moving together? And she gave him a timeline. And he was like, noted. And 43 minutes of reading later, he taps into that.
This is also, at some point, like, from one of Alice's chapters, he sees Marshall for the first time. He's like, oh, that must be the brother-in-law. I was like, it's been 6 months they've been together. How has she not met the second person she knows?
Third, the baby.
Oh, the baby is the... I forgot about the baby. And then...
he has to go through a lot of her trash, Jimmy.
Yeah. And then the mother says the same thing, like, oh, you know, I haven't met him yet, but I know it's him. And the like, how did you know? Is like, his name is fucking Atlas, dude. What do you think? I forgot the homeless kid named Atlas you fucked as a child that my husband beat. Also, they give backstory about when he was in the hospital. They're like, I want to press charges. And the nurse was like, you can't press charges against that man. He does whatever he wants, including to his wife. And you're like, but oh.
Was
okay.
He like the mayor or something?
He was someone important. Yeah.
Yeah, he was the mayor.
Yeah, but he was a known wife beater. So, you know, he got away with it. And, yeah, and then they flash forward to their wedding where they're reading their vows, which are once again letters, where mostly they talk about divorce.
You can't be too prepared.
you can be too prepared.
But his message is like, listen, half of marriages end in divorce. And so we've got like a 50-50 chance, so let's do it. that's basically his vows.
What the fuck is talking? What are you talking about, man? Don't bring that up right now.
Flip a coin, baby.
And then it ends, and you're like, what a waste of fucking time.
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't add anything to the original book. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, and the next page, the thank you page, was like, wow, I really didn't want to add anything to the other book, but here we are.
But I did want to add a wing to my home.
I was out of ink in the printer that prints money, so I made this.
It was an easy, fast, and unchallenging in any way read.
It was challenging to not be miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just such an obvious, shameless cash grab. Like, this doesn't need to exist. Like, you make a bad sequel and just be like, okay, that's a bad sequel. This never needed any... There's no purpose behind it besides money.
Could I offer that maybe it's not Colleen Hoover's fault? It's the publisher's fault.
Because the public's fault.
In, like, 2020, 2021, Colleen Hoover was the shit. Like...
Yeah.
You could look at the New York Times bestsellers list and she'd be like 3 or 4 or 5 of the top 10 books would be Colleen Hoover. I think she had some crazy thing where she was like 9 of the top 10 one week or something. Something absurd.
Jesus.
And I'm pretty sure Nate said that she was very self-deprecating and was like...
Yeah. She was.
I don't know. I guess you like this shit.
She's like, I people keep telling me to do it, so I do it. I don't know. I'm not a great writer. I know that. I respect her for that.
Oh, yeah, totally. But her publisher could have received this manuscript and been like, we have notes. They were like, meh, fuck it. Let's go.
File print.
It is good to go.
Ka-ching.
I think... Because she's not a trained writer. She's not a person. She's competent enough to churn out a book that has plot and foreshadowing and all those other things.
And a lot of romance novels don't require great talent or skill.
No, it's effort, you know.
And it's better than 50 Shades, if only by a little.
Oh, man. the whole book, I forgot to make this joke earlier. He is Christian Grey. Fucking, what's his name? Atlas?
Ryle.
No, Atlas is Christian Grey. He's like the perfect dude, but he's not rich.
Mm.
But he's a chef. So in my head, I laughed at this way too much. It's really stupid. I was calling him Christian Grey V the whole time. That's what he did. Because he was like, my mother, the whore, is useless, which was the whole thing in 50 Shades of Grey, if you remember. Oh, yeah, it's true. My mother, the crack whore.
Yeah.
Christian gravy, which is what Jesus calls cum.
Get a little bit more of that sauce.
That's the roux. Sorry.
I don't think they're going to make this one into a movie. Which is why we're doing this fucking book again.
Well, I hope the first movie does well.
I hope it's a fucking snuff film. I hope they all die in it. It's fucking terrible.
It really ends with us.
That'd be incredible. That would be a turn.
Quite a departure, yeah.
They get Paul Verhoeven to do it.
It's satire, get it?
It starts? Nate, what'd you think?
Was
it better than a nap?
Oh my god. This was clearly she tried to bring in the same elements as it ends with us, but yet it really did not need to be done a second time. Like the thing about like, oh, it's discovering the plot through the journal did not need to be done again, and writing another letter to Ellen and stuff like that. But again, because the two characters say right from the beginning, from their own perspective, yeah, I just want her so much. Oh, yeah, I'm so into him. There's no tension there. So it's just dumb. It's just boring.
Timothy?
It was just an empty shell. That's all it was. I mean, the first one was not good, but at least it had some sort of, like, it tried to be something. This one's not trying to be anything.
It's trying to be profitable.
Oh, well, it did do that because it didn't cost her fucking anything to write it.
I'm pretty sure it sold almost 1 million copies in pre-orders.
Fully believe it. I fully believe it. But it sucks. No one should ever read it.
Holy shit. In 2022, it sold 1.8 million copies. And in 2023, it sold an additional 1.2 million copies.
That's a lot.
So it's at 3 million copies.
Not including this year.
There is no God. That's absurd. My library didn't have it. When I took out Seven Eves, I went to the library. They didn't have this book.
Someone already had it.
Some old lady just jilling it.
Squirting that milk.
Yeah, they bang. I had questions about that, too. There's a sex scene where she just squirts, and he's like, you squirted all over. And she's like, yeah, I've been told I'd do that. And he's like, no, out of your titties. And then it's like, what the fuck is that? What is that here? Now, we're not experts, but I don't think that's how it works when you breastfeed. I don't think you just
some, but you're not like spraying like a soda fountain.
It's not like, you know, that thing you throw in the middle of your lawn. That's just like thing of milk.
Sprinkler?
But you know what I'm talking about. That thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works.
I mean, I've been wrong before, but yeah.
But she's a woman. She wrote this.
I guess we are wrong. That's what happens sometimes.
Who should read it?
No one should read it. Many people will read it, but no one should.
Not in the way you know.
I would say if someone wanted to read the first one, I'd be like, I guess, go for it. It's better than a lot of schlock, but this one is not.
Well, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter @drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram @drunkguysbookclub.
And I'm gonna say this as long as I can, because it's making Nate have to stay awake longer. But we have this thing you could support us
and
on.
Thanks for listening. Joking. Just say
fucking Twitter. What a fucking, who cares? No one's listening.
And join us on Goodreads, where we also chart together with us.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.